What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorayandCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorayandCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to the God Show. Let's go. And I know I usually say I have special guests, but today this is a really special guest because this is one of my, I don't even think I have three mentors. You, Zach Katz, L.A., I don't really think, maybe Divine, it's just not a lot, though. Five of them at most. And this guy is one of my five mentors. This guy is the party I call. So if you paying attention, if you listening, I want you to get your notepad out. I want you to pay attention because we about to talk to one of the goats of this shit. Everybody give it up for Mark Byers. Let's go.
Appreciate you, little bro. Appreciate you.
My dog. So let me tell you how I meet Mark Byers. I'm coming up in the business as a young manager, and I have two brothers out of the Virgin Islands, and we're working. But I'm hearing about this duo who is building, who is running the business. Everybody's going to them. Everybody's trying to work with them, and their name was Dre and Vidal. And once you got into the Dre and Vidal stratosphere, which included, bro, it was so many people that came up under you, which included so many people, you realize that there was an architect, and the architect was Mark Byers. And when I was coming up, I remember watching Mark be an architect of a whole production creative world, and that was my goal. So having him just fuck the podcast. I just wanted to show him that I have an office now. I want to show him like, yo, bro, I listen. Oh, so
man, I'm
let's,
proud of you.
Let's give it up for Mark one more motherfucking time. And now I'm going to ask some goddamn questions. So Mark, first of all, you also served as a successful manager. You also served as a GM of a major label. So you fought the inside fight and the outside fight.
Yeah.
At the highest level. Mm-hmm. What is the state of black music, culture, and everything right now? Like, where do you see it going? What's your assessment of it? I just want to give you the mic and let you go.
Look, I think we ran into an era where you had some young folks denying that there was a need for a black music department.
Yep.
But I think for every genre, there needs to be a lead, whether it's country, whether it's rock, whether it's hip hop, you know, black music, jazz, whatever it may be, because without it, you lack efficiencies for success. So if you're looking at, I don't know, going to your head of finance,
yeah,
if that person doesn't understand the culture, the product, doesn't live it, then it's hard for them to put a P&L together with you or understand your marketing people's P&L to understand like risk mitigation properly, right? So if they don't understand the market, your customer, then everything's at risk.
Gotcha.
Right? So now that challenge towards your marketer becomes much different because that person doesn't live what the supply chain lives, right?
Yes.
So it's inefficiencies there, right?
Yeah.
That's why country music is so successful, right? Because everybody in the supply chain, they live country music.
And they follow the rules.
You know, you look at jazz still staying alive, not as much from the record side, but they use it as a way to tour. Their entire ecosystem is fresh because they've kept the supply chain on the live music side all passionate jazz people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what do you think urban music went wrong? Because you were at the height of it. Like, y'all started Confessions, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken, the story I heard was that Usher, L.A. just started working on Confessions, and he heard a demo. They did Superstar by Usher, and that was kind of like the... the tone setter of the entire project going forward.
Yeah, it's funny. We were coming from Clive's office, and Clive had said that Usher was working.
Yeah.
And so called over, ended up speaking to Daryl Jones. Say, look, man, I got a smash for Usher. And typically, you know, every record that you heard Dre and Vidal do was done on the spot.
Yes.
We just happened to have this record done in advance.
That's crazy.
You know, so.
That's my favorite Usher record, by the way. You know that by far.
Yeah, so we went to Daryl's office. I played the record. He was like, yo, let me get a copy so I could take it to LA. I said, bro, we don't do copies, you know, because the guys are developers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if you're a developer, you morph sound according to the artist.
Yeah.
So you can't let the music sit on anyone's
exactly.
desk. So, you know, I said, look, you just tell LA that I'm here, and if in fact he wants to hear the record, I'll stay.
Exactly.
If he doesn't, I could come back another day, but I'm not leaving the record behind.
So. I want to stop you right there, because I want to make sure people are not missing, not hearing the lessons. You control the tone. That's what Absolutely. You taught me. A lot of young and up-and-coming guys, they hear LA wants to hear a record. They're so excited. But you setting that boundary immediately let them know, well, it's time to do business with these guys. It's going to be time to do business with these guys.
Yeah, but
because
also,
how you carried it.
Yeah, you also like, look, man, you, the experience of the people that you represent, you need to make sure that if you lose,
mm-hmm.
you lost based on how you guys get down.
Exactly.
Not based on somebody didn't play it loud enough, somebody talked over the record.
They didn't explain the texture of it, the importance of it.
Exactly. And it's like, crazy. You know, you got to unpack it.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's nobody unpacking the record, then it could be flat in a room with somebody being on the phone or this, that, and the other. Because if you're picking up a call or whatever it may be, I'm stopping the record.
Period.
Until you can focus completely. So if we lost, we lost because you were fully engaged, and we just didn't have it.
And no one can walk away and say, you ain't play me that record.
At all.
Yes, I did.
You can't say you didn't remember it.
Yep.
Can't say any of that, right?
Yep.
So we want to make sure that everything that we're working on is facts, because you can't say that you won a loss if you don't have the facts. And I believe that throw all emotions out the window, use facts, and then you can get emotional around the facts.
Exactly.
And if somebody doesn't want to operate in the facts, then obviously they just don't want to do business with you.
Exactly.
And that's cool too. But at least I want to know.
Exactly. No,
you know what I mean?
But you, that's the important part. Like anybody else could have been like, here's a record, shopping records. Our shit is special. We not McDonald's.
1,000,000%.
You can't go, you ain't coming through the drive through to get this. You're going to have to come inside, sit with Mastro's. We're Nobu. You're going to have to come inside, sit down, order, dress code. If we have a dress code, you're going to follow Dre and Vidal's rules. How did you get started in music? I want to ask you that, but it's hard to talk about yourself without talking about Philly.
Right.
What is it about Philly that y'all stick together like that? Because Philly, low-key, Ryan Press, you, Big John's from Denver. No, Troy,
Jay Irvin,
like, y'all are like running shit right now.
Sean G.
Oh, I forget. He head of Urban.
Live Nation Urban.
Live Nation Urban. Yeah. But y'all stick together. Charlie Mack, like, what is it about Philly?
No, it's funny. Like, you know, look, we all come from the same challenge.
Mm.
You know, look, we don't always all work together.
For sure.
But if a call happens, we're going to pick up.
For sure.
You know, because everybody is uniquely their own curator of how they see things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if Ryan calls me, I'm going to pick up. If Troy calls me, I'm going to pick up. I'm not going to pick up on 2-3 calls.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to pick up now because the urgency of, you know, look, what was built out of the crib, I'm very prideful of that.
Yeah.
I'm very prideful of, like, the Troy's. You know, and Troy's also my cousin, but Troy, you know, working with us very early during the Eve days. He was working with Will Smith and all of those guys, but, you know, we all work collectively on the Eve stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, Troy ushered in, like, the Jay Irvings and the Ryan Presses and stuff like that, but it all kind of came through the vehicle that was started with me and my brother and a former partner as well. And then Troy came in to kind of hold the management company down. And then, you know, he was always bright. So mm-hmm. He just looked like he was 12. You know what I'm saying?
He still does. Yeah, he still got a youthful look about him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was very, very deceiving.
Yeah.
You know, to look at a guy that looks so young, but, you know, have very much a man's mind.
Exactly. You man's mind. I mean? That's fire. That's a dope.
Yeah. So, you know, and then it was my brother, was my business partner as well, still is. So, you know, but it's, Philly has a pride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, we all got our own dream.
But y'all, but the thing I like is that y'all stick together. I always say if Atlanta artists stick together, but if Atlanta execs work the way y'all did, oh man, we would run the world. Cause y'all, Sterling doesn't sing no more. Now he's in the, boom, put him right in position. Like I just watch how Philly, you guys groom and help each other. Philly is also known for, shout out to Jack Dance, I'm not gonna take his fire. Philly is also known for dope duos.
Yeah.
From Gambling Huff to Dre and Vidal, Poppin' Oak.
Carvin Ivan.
So what is it about Philly that they have this sound? Even the Roots. The Roots is, I'm going to put them in there. Like
Roots is Philly.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was able to get the Roots their first deal as well.
That's crazy.
You know? So, yeah, it's like, it's look, man. Philadelphia is a beautiful town.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to the art of music, you know, we all grew up listening to Gamble and Huff because, you know, they dominated everything that we heard.
Yeah.
Philadelphia radio, the artists, you know, everything we saw, Soul Train, their artist was there. You know, the radio, their artist was there. We saw their artists, like I would be sitting in the barbershop and see Teddy Pendergrass riding down the street with a convertible top, Rolls Royce.
That's
with a fur
crazy.
On in the winter. How about that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
you know,
hard.
So, you know, Pieces of a Dream was in my neighborhood. Patti LaBelle was in my neighborhood. So we grew up, like, with all of this richness at, you know, at arm's length.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's incredible.
You know, and every neighborhood had people, you know. Troy in West Philly, he had the Will Smiths and the Jeffs and all those guys. I had the Pieces of a Dream, the Patties, the Grover Washingtons, this, that, and the other, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, it's rich in music. But I think what we all understand is that you don't hustle art, you curate it.
Say that again, because I don't think we all understand that.
Yeah.
Say that again. We don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to say it. Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah, you don't hustle art, you curate it. You know, because look, man. Art can be a way of life if you treat it right, but if you treat it wrong, it's going to backfire on you. And
exactly.
I think that's some of the throws that we're looking at in rap right now, is that one, people are overlapping with the same creativity.
Yep.
There's no real conversations being had. Everybody is, you know, either making $1 million a day in their raps or they killed 100 people. There's a lot of denial in regards to like what it's really doing to our children as well. And nobody wants to stand on that because they're making money.
I'm gonna just jump a little. When you were at your last post, how did you deal with those moments where they were trying to hustle the art from a leadership standpoint? Because most people, if you don't know this, most people don't know, when you work at a label, you gotta have balls to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like people just think because you have a job, you have a voice. No, you have to have balls to have a voice, because usually you have to take a moment. You have to say something. You might have to shake the room and be like, hold on, we can't do that. Right.
Yeah.
Like I've done that before. And I remember it just felt so natural to me. But looking around, they was like, thank you for doing that. I'm like, thank you for doing what? Speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
How did you handle scenarios where someone was overpowering our culture or trying to control our pace? Being a black man that's a GM of a major label, like, how'd you deal with that?
It's funny. It was like, look, man, Ethiopia was my little sis. Coach is my younger brother. You know, they both asked me to come there. So we didn't have those wrestling matches. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, my thing was more about making sure that whatever it is that they were trying to get off, that it was well represented.
Yeah.
And, you know, my battle was more about, you know, having those rough conversations with Capital about where we needed to have our voice in the room.
Exactly.
To make sure that how our stuff was being presented was in a cultural way.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it came to like streaming and stuff like that, you know, making sure that when our art went into the room, that it went in the room with our narrative, that we unpacked it. So whoever was going to put it on playlist or whatever, they understood our story.
They understood what it was.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I remember it's the first time, you know, because remember, I had not been in the business for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then came back.
You left to go do tech and everything. Yeah,
it was just a bunch of business development. I just wanted to test my skills doing other stuff. And, you know, so I come back. It's the streaming era.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at it, and everybody's like, the business has changed. The business has changed. And it's like, to be honest, the only thing that's changed is that they screwed up the money with streaming.
Yeah.
You know, I come from hard sales. So if you did 10 million units, everybody made money on the project. Where you look at streaming, unless somebody's buying something, a hard copy of something, then all the creatives are not participating in the sales of that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where when we did albums,
mm-hmm.
like Usher's album, for instance, everybody on that album made money.
Everybody.
Everybody. Even the guys that didn't have singles.
Mechanical royalties was crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Even the folks that didn't have singles. Like us and Jermaine and those guys and Lil Jon may have made more money.
Yeah.
But everybody on there made money.
Because when you bought the album, you bought the album.
You bought the album.
You bought my work too.
Every bit of real estate that was on there, everybody had a piece of the pie.
Yep.
Because they had a house on the block.
Yep.
Right? That's so when the block sold, everybody's percentage of that block, they got that money. It's not really happening now.
Like that. Nope.
It's a whole bunch of singles laid out to look like albums, but it's not.
Yeah, because you could be on a platinum album and have made $300.
Yeah.
The plat cost more than the money you made because you was on a platinum album, but your song only got 100,000 streams compared to the main single got three billion. Yeah. That's why it carried it to platinum, but that doesn't mean that you made a platinum album. That just means you rode the wave. You didn't even get nothing for it.
Yeah, but also just like really understanding like the brands, you know, making sure that the fight happened and the communication was happening, like when Coach and them was doing the Ice documentary.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that the guys over at Polygram were staying focused and making sure I spoke to Coach like, look, we got to keep this tight because we're this close to being done.
Yeah.
Let's get this done. You know, I remember the solo albums when Quavo was doing his solo album, and it was like the first pitch that I had done with streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because looking at like what Coach and E and P were building, I understood that these were brands. They weren't just artists.
Mm.
And I was looking across the DSPs. I'm like, well, who can actually be potentially the greatest partner for what this is? And I thought it was Amazon because at the time, they were the ones with the store also.
Yes.
Right? They had other parts other than streaming.
Yeah.
You know, they had Alexa, this, that, and the other. And I had pitched for them to actually get everything from the billboards to, you know, all of the digital out of home, the billboards, placement, but also was able to make sure that Quavo was the first rap voice on Alexa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so if you ask Alexa, hey, play Quavo, then you hearing Quavo, you know what I mean, on there. And it's funny, I met him that day.
Quavo.
At the pitch, after the pitch. You know what I'm saying? But
sure.
I had gotten so much insight from Coach in regards to what he was building that I understood how to pitch the guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I come from artists that are brands. When you look at Eve and you look at Early Beans and stuff like that, we were already doing commercials and, you know, the TV stuff, the fashion stuff. Everything was kind of all in one first run, early Sprite commercials.
Sure.
This, that, and the other. So I knew what I was looking at. You know what I mean? But for me, it was all about how do you build the position. While everybody else focused on streams and sales and stuff like that, I really wanted to focus on the IP. You know what I mean? What is it that we can actually do with this incredible IP that we have, whether it's with the artists or with the brands?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's funny. I thought that, you know, I still do. I think that Motown is the most incredible black brand or music brand or brand period ever built, right, to get respect around the world. And it's probably, you know, my thought was that it's really the only brand that actually could become hospitality, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yes,
you know, so
that's true.
Had some real early conversations with Bedrock, with Dan Gilbert's company out of Detroit, to turn Motown into hotels.
Yeah.
You know, had conversations with Bracken Darrow at Logitech, who was leading Logitech at the time. Now he's the leader at VF. So VF has like Vans, Supreme, all of that stuff. But at this time, he was over at Logitech, leading Logitech, and the gaming world was coming around the corner. I'm like telling him the thing that's missing in gaming is that none of you guys know what an urban gamer is. So it's scaling with folks that don't look like us, but there's an opportunity for who looks like us, but Motown needs to lead the way. So we're going down the line and creating renderings and stuff like that for headphones and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know.
How was that received inside? Because I'm going to tell you why I'm asking you that. Because when you talk, I'm like, man, this dude makes so much sense. I always feel this way. He makes so much sense. He has a full understanding of a 360 view of the music business. But there aren't many guys like you, and you know that. And there are guys like you on the outside that think, that can outthink you, can understand everything about what we're doing. But it feels like those the labels don't like men, specifically black men like you and myself, who hold everyone accountable. Like, why is that? Do you even think about that? Like, that's my most frustrating part.
Look, most of the people that work in the business aren't entrepreneurial, right? They're kind of, and it's no disrespect, it's just how they learn, right? And they learn a vertical of the business. Yes. I do partnerships, or I do A&R, or I do marketing, or I do this. But if you look at the business itself, they haven't been great at building the brand of their artists, right? Yeah. The managers are typically doing that, or an independent house like a QC or Motown, or you know what Andre Harrell is doing with Uptown, what Top is doing with TDE, and so on and so forth. But like, other people don't see the brands that could be built out of our talent because they're not in the community to understand like the magnitude.
That it's not just music.
Nah.
It's so much more behind that music.
This person is a moving magnet of things.
Yes.
But if you're just quantifying it by just the vertical that you see, which is music, then you may miss the opportunity to create something else that can create discovery for that music to move more. So it's, you know, it's a weird dynamic in how it moves, but, you know, people can only know they're right.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And your right could be very wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Where there's a bit of misappropriation in regards to how our product and our opportunities are viewed. So, you know.
It feels like it's a ploy to keep us in our place.
That's funny.
Because for a hot second, when it probably still is, when rap was on its run, we were very loud about rap being number one and us not having nobody in the number one positions. So it's kind of like they got two choices. They could either let one of us in the number one position, which they don't, or they just turn pivot from rap and be like, yeah, we're gonna go Afro Beast now. We don't even want to sign rap no more. We're gonna go Afro Pop because it just seems they don't even understand the differences, the dances, they don't even care about that. It's just black people having fun making money, making music. Let's do that. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's funny. Like, look, in some instances, what you're saying is could be true in some areas, but then I'm also a proponent of us being accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, for what we're not doing right in some areas. I'm not saying all of it. I'm saying some areas. So when you look at rap, it's losing its creativity.
Yeah.
Because you got people talking one-on-one to clicks. They're not really talking to the world. They're not telling a story that everybody can understand. So if I'm violently mad at you, now I'm making records about you.
Yeah.
We don't understand that.
On Mars. I'm like, what does that even mean?
What that means. It's like, who are you talking to, right? Yeah. But if your career is also being guided by a hustler and not a curator, then again, art is being hustled, right? So when art is being hustled, it's going to turn on you. So when you look at rap as a whole, most of it's being hustled.
Yeah.
So, but then you see a Kendrick.
It's rooted in hustle.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, what I mean
streaming,
by that is like,
I think streaming.
What I mean by that is like, it was basically like, it started off as us at the park DJ, somebody grab a microphone. I'm having fun doing this, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, so you could take that recording and they'll buy it. And now that's what I mean by like, it was like.
Yeah, but I also feel like, look, streaming has onboarded the amateur business into a pro circuit. Boy, this nigga just said. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody could jump in the game from where they stand and be sitting next to some of the biggest artists of the world, right?
Tomorrow.
But it doesn't mean that you're really on that level.
Yeah.
So you look at most of the streaming artists, like in the hip hop area, they don't have a touring career.
Yep.
Right? They're hustling club to club, right? So if they stop making these records that's exciting people, their entire business is done because they haven't produced a business that's proven that you could bring bodies in the building.
Yes.
So if you're doing the club, people, like, you're additional entertainment in the club, but the entertainment is already there because guys are coming because the girls are there. There's liquor flowing. You know, people want to see who's wearing what, who's pulling up, and you just happen to be the highlight at the end of the night.
And I was about to say, and partying with you means way different than buying a ticket to support you.
1,000,000% like, that I bought into your thing.
Yes, that means right? I could buy into the party for myself.
Right.
But I bought your ticket because I support you. I'm a fan of you.
Yeah. So when you look at the business, right, that genre of music has to get better at building the business versus just making cash.
Yeah.
Because in this business, you can make money doing it wrong.
So that's so. Bro, you be saying, you got some bars, bro. I ain't gonna lie, man. That's some shit. So how do you, it feels like we need a reset.
We do. And how I think this is what we're witnessing. So it's like, as much as we would want to say, you know, it's a bit of race, it's a bit of this, what they don't want, like the business wants money.
Period.
Right? And
every business, by the way, so there's no disrespect.
Every business, right? Now, you may have some folks that don't understand holistically the culture of what it is that we have and get confused with data and this, that, and the other. And we watch folks like sign all of this TikTok stuff because they can get to the front of the line, so to speak, because they thought, oh, this person's got these streams, got these views, this, that, and the other. And then they jumped out there, jumped on that stuff. But then post-COVID, you've got all of these artists that's jumping on these festivals that the fans are saying, well, I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
What's this?
Exactly.
So you can't read the data that's being read is based on what's already done, right?
Yes.
But for me, when you build a product, you should already know who your audience is. And the data should read for you the additional people that decided to get involved in what you were already doing.
Yep.
Where now what's happening is that stuff is being thrown out and the discovery is coming from the building.
Yeah.
When the building should already know.
Yep.
When I throw that rock, where it's going to splash. Because I'm throwing it this way.
And I've seen it splash exactly that when you do it. They should have that data.
You already know that how it's going to splash when you make the product.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And nobody's getting that data, though. They're not paying attention.
But also, there's amateurs through the pipeline, like, really not knowing who to hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think this business can be hired from HR.
Mm-mm.
You know, this ain't the banking industry. This isn't, you know.
Look at the resume, he qualifies.
It can't, because one, you have to have the business acumen. Two, you have to have the social relationships to win in this business.
Yes.
If you want to make sure when you throw that rock, it skips across the pond.
Yep.
Each person that you know in various different places are the lily pads to their success, right? Yeah. So if I don't have relationships in media, if I don't have relationships in brands, if I don't have relationships with producers, if I don't have relationships in various different things that it takes to make this artist successful, then I'm actually participating and holding it back.
Absolutely.
So what I'm looking at now is that it's less marketers, more project managers.
Yep.
Which means that it's less storytelling and unpacking of the identity of what the artist has built to create interest from outside parties.
Yep.
So that's a problem.
Exactly.
So we're dealing with so many nuances of inefficiencies in our business that becomes the core problem.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holler at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holler at us to get to YKTV.
And maybe, exactly. You know, maybe the big guys need to regroup.
Yeah.
And really understand that it's not the fact that our music doesn't make money. It's the fact that it's improperly curated, yep, and it's improperly led.
Mark, I ain't gonna lie, man. It's rare that I don't have questions, man. Like, it's just rare, cause like you, cause that's the problem.
Yeah.
It is being, and they're blaming us, but we have no control over it because.
But guess what? If the us's that's in the building aren't being honest about what they don't know, who they don't know, yep, what they can't accomplish, then this is who got hired.
Yep.
So it's like it got to come to a point where we stop coddling,
yep,
right? Because we feel like it's not keeping it real. Mm-hmm. It's this, that, and the other. All while we see the business of what we're doing being dismantled.
Yep.
In some cases by the folks up top, by them not knowing who the right people are. But then some of the folks that's in the supply chain that's not saying, hey, collectively, we need to participate, yeah, in the hire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And
how is A&R not participating in the marketing hire? How is the marketing not participating in the A&R hire? Because they really work hand in hand.
Mark, I'm gonna tell you something. I was in the, since I've been in the music business going on 20 years. The last 2 years of doing a podcast, I've had more of my peers walk up to me and say, I didn't know you knew all of that. How the fuck does that happen? Like, I know everything you know. Cause we make our job, I'm in LA, pull up. You told me I'm in Atlanta, pull up. Like, we make it our job to talk, to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And they're not making that their responsibility, but that is a part of it. And I'm going to give an example. Tell you how important it is. Since I started this show, when I started this show, I had every label calling me. I need somebody. Ray, I want to get a new artist on. You called me, Lord Africana. I made a way. I'm going to do a different show now. I literally started Artist Spotlight because you said, Ray, I need. That's 20 years of a relationship. That's, yeah, like, Mark needed, stop what you're doing, I'm gonna do it. They don't understand how powerful that is.
Yeah, but they understand it in their world.
No, and that, but not in our world.
Yeah, but again, we have to do it where it's understood. We have to stand on our qualities, right? And not just our homies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in doing homie business. Mm. If you can't deliver,
yeah, homie or not,
we could just go eat.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But we're not doing business. You are not crossing the line of my business if you can't deliver the area that you claim you can and be proven.
Yep.
There's nothing we can do. Now, nothing. Can you intern?
Yep.
May hurt your feelings, but that's all you're capable of.
That's the reality, right? That we're living. Yep.
And we have a problem with a whole lot of know-it-all because, yep, social media has created so much ego. And Google and everything else has created a case where people can read information, yeah, and like regurgitate information, but you don't have the experience and real knowledge
of that information. Too. Like Martin, so anybody can make a Wikipedia page on me and you and just make up stories.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, that's so.
But the thing is that look, the greatest people forever learn, right?
Yep, for sure.
And we're dealing with a bit of society in the arts world, in the music world, where people are stopping with what they think they know,
yeah,
versus to what they need to learn.
Exactly.
But then we have a separation on a few things, right? Because OG is not based on just someone being older than you. It's based on how they get down. Yeah. It's based on when you talk to that person, are they talking to you based on what they can get out of you? Or are you talking to that person based on what they can put in you?
Yes.
Right? Big and most difference. Of my conversation with young folks has nothing to do with what I can gain,
nothing,
from the opportunity.
Nothing.
I'm trying to figure out how to get you information to make you better because you can't operate with me unless your skills have gotten to the point where we can have a real conversation. Yes. And you could unpack what I'm talking about because you've experienced it.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't know what we're talking about. Yeah. So I'll keep it on education and not engagement.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, but then you've got these OGs out here trying to be too young.
Finessing niggas.
Too much. They haven't really done anything, but they hang around a lot of people.
It look good.
Social media has made it seem like you're really in the game. But if you really peel it apart, you've done nothing. So now you've got some of the young people learning that finesse game, but when you break them down, you've got nothing.
Yeah, by the way, we finessing each other.
Can't do it.
And instead of us giving it our absolute best, like, I'm dedicated to greatness for myself first. I hope my team sees it. I hope my team keeps up with it. But I'm not going to slow down my accelerated learning because you're not paying attention when you should have been paying attention when I was. Like, I'm just not going to do that.
I'm going to learn till I die.
Period.
You know what I mean? Because
I love it, by the way. I love it.
I've been in a lot of spaces from a young kid washing cars, cutting grass, doing store runs for the black entrepreneurs at the softball games in my neighborhood and stuff like that to, like, where I am now and as a high school graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't knock college at all because I feel like you have some industries where you absolutely need college, but I feel like practical application is one incredible way to learn when you under the hood.
Yeah.
And somebody said, hey, hand me the wrench. Hey, go get that bucket. Oh, this, that, and the other. But don't nobody want to hand you the wrench no more. They want to be the mechanic.
Yeah.
But if you, how you going to be the mechanic when you ain't never fixed nothing?
Just because you gave me a wrench. You think, I need the wrench. I'm teaching you. I need the wrench because I got to do this. And they're like, I get young
bucks now that be like, yeah, you know, because I learned under y'all and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. And it's like, I kind of let the conversation happen because I don't really want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
But what I really want to say is that you kind of skimmed and you saw some things, but learning underneath me is when you actually came and worked a little bit for nothing to get the inside understanding of the process. So when you go out there, you're like, ooh, I learned. I sat at Kenny Gamble's spot for almost a year, hoping I wouldn't get kicked out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was a rest haven to, like, stay away from the street.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, what I learned by watching these guys redo their catalog and recut strings and vocals and this, that, and the other. I'm just watching this process over and over and over again to the point where, like, you felt like you did it because you were in there so much. You watched the process. So when my turn came, you know what I mean? And again, he was like, hey, hand me the wrench. Well, hand me the wrench was find me a keyboard player.
Yeah.
Hand me the wrench was, yo, you know somebody programmed drums really good.
Yeah.
Hand me the wrench was like, do you know a guitar player?
Yeah.
Hey, you got a background singer that you know. Can you get him here today?
Yeah.
It was like that kind of stuff. And it's like, but watching the mechanic underneath to understand why I was handling the wrench and what he was putting the wrench on and what it was fixing is totally different from you kind of skimming off of someone's name to say that you actually learned under them, but you don't actually have behavioral things.
That's right? Where I was going to go. I was going to say learning under someone is a gift, but you actually have to get in there and learn. Like, basically what I'm saying is that as a teacher, like, so again, I use us as an example. Mark will call me and say, yo, podcast doing good. What's the plan? Now, I already know Mark ain't asking me for, like, no regular-ass plan. Mark is like, what's the plan? I'm like, well, I'm trying to, but you need to be doing this. Don't forget that. What about this? Where's your plan with that? Where's your plan with that? Like, it's like, shit, and I'm in it. And he just broke down. So now, I think in order to be successful, your head must remain on a swivel. You
got to
be the serious thing. So now what you did was you made my head turn faster now. Like, all right, cool, he's right. I'm not looking enough. And that's necessary for mentorship and mentees where, like, my son is interning for me right now. And I'm like, I told him, as soon as we walked in the office, I said, your phone should never be in your hand. If your phone is in your hand, that means you're not doing something or not seeing that someone needs to do something. Now, I know it's not normal to him and it's weird to him because here's my dad, but he understands now that it's just not about being in the room.
Yep.
It's about being active in the room. Yes.
About being active in the room.
And I don't think that nothing I'm doing is surprising you because you remember a young Ray saying, yo, what about this? How y'all do that? Where you get that from? I was curious. I wasn't in the room like, yeah, I made it. Yeah. I'm trying, nigga, I know when a nigga's higher than me on the fucking totem pole. Yeah. I'm going to learn from this dude.
You was on my back in Philly.
Because I had him, because he was born. And I was like, he's not going to grow up, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. But the key is like, look, when you got reference of accountability, then you think like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, I had, you know, my daughter not too long after Jan Vidal. Like, my daughter was running around the studio when you
was
there.
I remember.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I have to look at that.
Yeah.
I got to understand that and say, yo, who's going to be her example? Who's going to be her go-to guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And if it's not me, I've done something wrong, like terribly wrong.
Yeah.
The last thing you want is for your child to look at another adult as the informationist.
Cooler, a more influence.
Yeah, it's all, like,
to me that,
all of it.
Yes.
All of it. All of it.
Agreed.
Like, if your child think you a sucker,
yeah,
you failed them, but also what's going to end up happening is that they're going to date suckers.
Yep, they're going to think sucker shit is okay.
1,000,000%.
Ain't no and sucker shit over here, son. I'm with you. You too, Dre. Ain't no sucker shit coming out of us. That's why I'm making him sit and watch this. Yeah, like, he's 15. Mm-hmm. Like, I want him to understand. Ethiopia and me are a week apart.
Yeah.
We're a week apart. She's a week older or younger than me. She's a week younger. Ethiopia was president. You know why she was president at 30, 31, 32? Because she started at 14.
Yeah.
And I started at 22. So we the same age, but she's 8 years older than me.
Yeah.
Because when I was 14 trying to get girls, she was under L.A. Reid and Shanti Das learning the music business.
Focused.
That's why you can't beat these people.
Focused.
That's why you're here. Sorry.
Focused.
That's what we say.
Focused. You know what I mean? You know, so look, man, you know, I just think that, you know, there needs to be a regrouping all around the business, not just with folks that don't look like us, but for us too. You know what I mean? It's just a reality.
I'm gonna challenge you now.
Yeah.
You know, to me, you feel like you are, to me at least, our Clarence Avant. It's kind of unfair to say this because you actually take on the role. Like, I want y'all to understand, Mark will look for me for 3 days to talk to me about my shit. Understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm dodging his call for 3 days because I know he's about to grill me about my shit. But that's the kind of mentor and leadership you need. That's why when I seen your little cousin and your nephew, I'm like, you a Mark, you with me.
Yeah.
Because he picks up the phone for me and not answers my call, calls me. What are you doing? Why are you not doing this? What are you doing? Ray, what do you call me? What's the nickname you call me? It's not Raymond.
Sugar Ray.
He'd be like, Sugar Ray. Where you at? What you doing? And I'm like, Mark, he's like, bro, stop being afraid. You got to go. I love that. And we need more of that.
What was that movie, man, Eddie Murphy was in, man, with the Cotton Club type joint, and he was Sugar Ray? Harlem Nights. Yeah.
Oh, that's what his name was on there? Oh,
yeah,
I love it now.
Yeah. That's Sugar Ray.
Yeah, but yeah.
It wasn't Leonard.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
And by the way, shout out to your brother Sherman, man, because he always taps in. Like, y'all family has been, like, real big bros. Y'all and Shaka and Jeff, like, those have been the two big bros that kind of I needed. And I appreciate that. So
those are our brothers, too.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody came up. In today's game, what do we need? Mark takes over a label, and I know you probably don't want to, but let's just play the game. Mark takes a CEO position at a top label. What is your first? Are you going to restructure? Are you going to add people? Like, how are you going to build out the label?
People are not going to like it.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'm a clean house.
I already know.
You know, because I feel like there's some very seasoned executives that aren't taking posts because they refuse to play the game that don't scale business, right? And a lot of people say, like, play the game. The game is to make a solid business.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you've got, like, incredibly bright guys out here that, you know, are doing good things. You got guys out here that got good ears that range from young to old.
Yeah.
So my shot would look like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, who would be my right hand?
Yeah.
probably Chris Hicks.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chris Hicks.
You know what I mean? I think Chris is probably
one of the most brilliant guys in the world.
Single-handedly,
but that's
one of the most brilliant guys. He built a solid business for Noontime.
Every black brilliant man has been pushed out.
Yeah, but it's, you know what it is that there's a difference between being pushed out and making a stand for. You don't really see this.
Exactly, that's true too. Right? But, you, so but even like, then, you're still brilliant. Why? You should at least listen to me, hear me.
I get it, but you have to realize, like, you have some of us that have built a greater business from our own pocket than some of these folks have built with help.
Someone else's money,
right? With someone else's really money to like run their stuff, yeah. Right? And it's like, you know, I got close to 30 years of independent sustainability. Mm. I took a gig 1 year at Atlantic in the early 90s, mm-hmm. right? And I was at Motown for 2.5 of a 3-year stint in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I know how to jump off the cliff because I live jumping off the cliff.
For like, sure. You're not afraid of it?
At all.
Me neither.
Because I know, you know, just like cats have, you throw you from 3-4 stories, I'm going to land on my feet.
Exactly. Period.
And you have to develop that confidence. And I think what's happening to a lot of folks in this business from not being understood by leadership that they're reporting to and stuff like that, but also never have been built anything, they're scared to jump.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in and your mind is paranoid, thinking about what someone doesn't understand. In your mind, you might think it's about race or this, that, and the other. Like, there's a difference between race and racist.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's always a race issue.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't mean that who you're dealing with is a racist.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a theory on systematic racism. I always said, I don't think the system is racist. I just think the person at the top recognizes a certain person the same way me and you probably will recognize a certain person. So it's not the system is racist. It's just the person at the top is going to probably gravitate to the person that looks like them, reminds them of them, comes from where they're from, and that's what they're doing. But if the system doesn't want to be racist, then they're going to have to start appointing more leaderships in other places. Because.
But it's about also, like, look, I have no problem when someone's talking to me and be like, yo, who you think is really good? Yeah. I'm not going to be like, yeah, it's me. It's me. Four times. It's me. Five times. It's me. Like, it come a time when we got to say, you know what? You really need to talk to that person.
Exactly.
We got to get real with it. Like, there's a lot. There's all of that's missing.
Yeah.
Of someone pointing out somebody else as being the talent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? From a business standpoint, because the business has to regroup. It has to be rebuilt. And somebody has to understand the numbers.
Yep.
You know, somebody has to understand the business legally as well. You know what I mean? You know.
You need to have somebody that has been there, that is has enough season years under their belt, but also understands the need for the youth at the bottom and how important they are.
Yeah, but the youth has to also understand and respect lineage, right?
For sure.
Because you look, and arguably you've got Kenny Gamble, you know, and Deanna Williams and that crew during that time, they fought for the positions of black folks to have positions at these companies because most of the black companies were independent.
Yeah.
So when these guys buckle into CBS and walk through, they say, yo, the folks that's working here don't know this market.
Yeah.
We got to hire black people.
Yeah.
So Kenny Gamble and those guys were the ones that created the black music division.
Yeah.
So it's like for a person now.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a person now to be hired and denounce OGs, but without the OGs, you absolutely wouldn't have a job
So
right now.
Let me ask you, do you think, and this might be like a dumb question, but I'm just curious, do you think that it's the young people's fault or you think it's the OGs' fault?
It's a combination because, look, at a certain point in our business, people put too much emphasis on cool.
Yes.
Right? And cool is magnetic. Mm. But cool don't have a value unless it's a product that can sell. So we're sitting here spitting, on bro. All of these cool people that have no substance other than cool.
Yeah.
So when you see a young kid, they're inspired by that. It's like the young kid being inspired by the dope dealer. He cool. He got all of this cool stuff.
Yeah.
But his substance is completely empty.
Absolutely.
Right? So you see these kids are inspired by this person that's hanging with this person, this person that knows this person. Yeah. They look cool. They got all the gear. They got the car. They got the jewels. But this kid don't know.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Oh, that this person ain't done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're actually making their money doing something else.
Yeah.
But hanging around this because they want to get in it.
And to me, that's why I blame the OGs. And the reason I blame the OGs is because, like, there are certain OGs in my world. I mean, you probably talked about it, who I don't fuck with. Nigga, you can't even talk to me, nigga, because when I was a young nigga coming up, you treated me like a young nigga coming up. And when I was a young nigga coming up, you treated me like almost like I was your responsibility.
Because like, you are.
That's my point.
Man, my father taught me to sacrifice one and take care of the village. Mm-hmm. If you do it the opposite way around, then we all suffer and just one is up.
Sacrifice one to take care of a village. Not the other way around.
Meaning,
I know
you're
the like,
one that's screwing up, off with your head.
Yep.
Instead of all of us being ruined behind trying to keep it real and holding you down, and you got the wrong intent, the wrong model and everything, but we want to keep it so real that we're hush hush.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a lot of that right now is that, you know, the conversations of the street has cross-pollinated into the business.
Yeah.
You say something that's real, you know, you hating. Yeah. These little taglines, right, that prevents a person from being honest, it's dripped into the culture of business, and it's got to go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm being honest that you don't have the skills, I'm not hating. Look in the mirror. You don't have the skills. You haven't done it. So why am I hating? What point do I get for hating on you that absolutely hasn't done anything?
Yep.
Everybody in this business, man, you accomplish your own points by putting up where you stand.
Yeah.
It don't come off of somebody else.
Yeah.
It's just like making your way into heaven.
Yeah.
You are accountable to God's judgment.
Yes.
You are accountable to the business judgment.
Yep.
What have you done?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, it's so foggy.
Everybody's sensitive. You can't even ask a nigga what he's done.
But also, like, nobody's being honest, so the blame goes other places.
Mm.
It goes into this area of other places where now it looks like everybody's screwed up.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It does. I want to ask you this. Do you think, because it feels like our community is being held hostage by money.
Us.
I was about to say money, the desire for money, whatever that is, right? So let's say in the music business, the labels, right? We're caught between the labels and the streets. And then you have these people in the middle like yourself and myself who come from the streets but also understand the label that's like, yo, there is a happy medium here for everyone. My question to you is, do you think the streets has too much control over our music?
Look, the streets have always been integrated into the music, but I just feel like the openness of the internet, social media, and stuff like that has like fogged it a bit.
Yeah.
Because the person in the industry has always been kind of like influenced by the streets, but now they look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of can't tell.
Yeah.
And I think Atlanta is one of those markets that is probably the most confusing market on the planet.
By far.
When it comes to that integration, right?
Yes.
So it's just like, we just gotta keep it a buck.
Yeah.
we're not keeping it a buck to say, how do we get this right?
Yeah.
Every community's responsibility is to straighten up their own necktie.
Absolutely.
If I see you come out your tie crooked, my job is to say, yo, man,
let me, your thing's
hanging sideways, bro. Yeah. You about to walk out there like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Come on, man, pull it together.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Now you're right.
You know, I've always told younger guys coming up, even through my system, you got a suit?
Yeah.
Mm. Own a suit. Get you one black suit at least. Get you a suit.
Yeah.
You might be needed for something else.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So what happens if I say, yo, I might need you to go with me somewhere?
You don't have a suit.
You can't dress like that today.
Yeah.
And you can't go home and put on a suit.
Yeah.
You lose an opportunity.
Mm.
I'm not losing. You're losing.
Mm. I'm going to ask you a very good question. And you're probably the one of maybe two or three men in this world that are qualified to speak on this. So we have three exploding subgenres within our black culture, right? Afrobeats, Afropop, R&B, rap. You are in charge of making all three skyrocket. What does all three genres need to do to win? And you start how you want to start.
Well, I think like country music, I think the Grammys should have an Urban Music Awards.
They have the Latin Grammys.
You got the Latin Grammys, you've got the country something, like you've got these various different award shows that's for genres, right? That is totally integrated in audience viewership.
Yeah.
Not stuck inside of like this cable networked thing, right? Yeah. Like BET, for instance.
Sure.
Stuff like that where you gotta have cable, so to speak, to be able to watch it. I'm talking about NBC, CBS, ABC, talking about right there, just like the Grammys are, right? Right there, where if you got a wire on your TV, you can still watch it, right? That's one. I feel like Afrobeat need to do the same thing as the Latin Grammys. I think being stuffed into the U.S. Grammys that is trying to figure, still haven't figured out how to give urban enough space.
Mm.
Now you're stuffing one more urban in. They need their own.
Yeah.
Right?
We do need urban Grammys.
But Africa needs its own Grammys, right? Because when you look, you've got Nigeria being challenged by South Africa for one slot. But, you know, with the Tyler versus should Burna Boy have gotten it? Should, you know, Tims or Wiz or this, that, and the other? Like, who should have gotten it?
Yeah.
But if they have their own awards, yes, then everybody from Tanzania to Cape Town has a chance to be on that show, be represented by the sounds that they have, be on that stage performing to really show the vast sounds that's coming out of the diaspora.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like, oh, African music is Afrobeat.
Yeah.
Like
it's so many different it's so many different genres. Like they said, like it's like a 10-hour flight from South Africa to like Ghana. Like Africa's a big, there's no place in America that you gotta fly. Maybe Hawaii, and that's still an island that's so far. So man, that's how big
Nigeria,
Africa is.
Nigeria alone has 200-something million people.
66% of what the U.S.
Right?
That's
so what
crazy.
That's just one place.
Can we go to Nigeria? I want to go to Africa so bad. Can we shoot a show there? You the plug.
We should
this
go.
This the plug to Africa, by the this way, guys. Be, I want y'all to know. This the plug be, to Africa, bro. That, let's go to Nigeria and let's talk to Nigeria.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. Hey, look, man, I got off the plane in Africa. I had just got my African ancestry back.
Yeah.
Probably like, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks to a month before I went, right? Yeah. And Berner's mom was like, I don't know why you're looking at that. I could tell you who you are.
Shut
the right?
Was she right?
Said, yeah, she was right. So, you know, and it's funny, I was at their crib in Nigeria, and, you know, her husband comes in the door. Right? And he's like, you know, he knew I was there, yeah, right? He was like, Bose, this guy's African. This guy's Nigerian.
Oh, wow.
Before he said hello.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Before he said hello.
You look like a Nigerian. You didn't even know it.
You know, but when I got off the plane, I understood it.
Yeah.
You know, I've never, like, I've been to Jamaica, Barbados, all these other black spots that is a lot of integration with other people. I've been to Joburg.
Yeah.
Was integration with other people. But when you go to Nigeria and you get off the plane, it's like you see black people everywhere. From the president to every person working on everything and this, that, and the other. And it was like an experience that I never had before, bro. I cried tears, bro, for probably 10 minutes just
riding through it.
In the car service, riding through it. And I was just looking, and I'm looking at, I'm like, wow, this is the U.S.
Yeah.
And what I meant by that is that the closer you got to the airport, it was hood.
Yeah.
The further you got away and closer you got to the island, it just started getting better and better and better. And I'm just looking. I'm just like, wow, everywhere we go, I guess this is the layout.
So,
you know what I mean?
R&B you didn't address. I want to see, what would you do to save the genre?
Say it again?
What would you do to save the genre for R&B to make it go to the next level? Because you said Afropop need Afro.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daines, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Afro need the look, the Grammys. That's a great idea, by the way. You should get Harvey Mason on the phone. We need that.
I mean, look what Cox and Jermaine are doing.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Everybody could talk all they want. I hear these young people with these ideas. No bridges. Song should be 2 minutes. This, that, and the other. Well, if you ain't saying nothing, then of course it should be short.
Exactly.
Get in and get out.
Yep.
But if you really telling a story and you taking somebody through a journey, they're going to stick it through.
Yep.
And Cox and them proved it twice with Money Long in a row.
Both times.
In a row.
Both times. Both times.
You know, it's funny when we put, I put the kid Phils from Nigeria on Usher's record. Coming Home, I co-wrote with him. Then there's another record that was a single. I don't know why it's burning my brains of what the name of the song was. But I got a phone call from somebody in the industry, and they was like, the song, you sure? Afrobeat is like 3 years old. And I'm just like, I just hit back, yeah, okay. Right? And then we had I said, I'm gonna wait, because this person had a record out, you know, on Usher that didn't do so well. And after this record came out, which for me, like, I feel like our role has always been for Usher to kind of open him up. I feel like Jermaine and Atlanta crew, they have the base.
Yeah.
Like, whatever he is to be within his storytelling, with them being so close.
They're going to tell that part.
These guys are the base, right? Dran Vidal became expansion, right? Mm-hmm. How to open it up. Where to get his first, like, real up-tempo record with Caught Up. Like, what do we bring to the table that can provide that growth?
Yeah.
So then, you know, you look at his career, you look at the world, you look at Africa opening up and stuff like that. And it was like, you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, Usher's like a little brother to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've done loads of stuff with and for him, you know, also. So when he did Global Citizens, you know, I'm like, bruh, don't go in there. Yeah. Like, go in there like you really want to discover the rest of culture.
Yeah.
You know, so we were able to kind of curate, you know, collectively with our relationships, what that experience looks like, right? How to make sure that you go to all the cultural spots, meet all the tastemakers, you know, that was going to be in Ghana during that time, you know, curate the next artists that no one else covered.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Inside of the opportunity. Because knowing how special your brand is to folks that look like you in other places, the way that you embrace them is going to be really important in a very judgmental market.
Exactly. I agree.
You know what I mean? So, you know, so you had Oxlade on the stage, you had Phils on the stage. Both of them had massive records at that time in Africa. And then Tiwa Savage, which was, you know, Beyonce's utilized Tiwa for her African album.
Tiwa, she's married to Rotimi. Is that Rotimi?
No, Tiwa's single. She's a single woman. But Tiwa was like the first like girl to actually make it. So while all of the guys were coming through the system, she was the only girl coming through the system with them, the Burners, the Wizzes, and Davids. She was the one girl that's coming through the system with them.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So the Timbs and, you know, the Irish Stars and all of them, they're the new iteration. But Tiwa was like, she was the front runner to kind of show that it's possible. You know, just did her own independent film with Amazon, you know what I'm saying, out of her own pocket. Successful, rated really high. I think it was top five.
Oh, wow.
Top five Amazon pictures that came out that week. You know what I'm saying? She was the first African girl to do a lipstick with MAC. You know what I'm saying? Which was Red, which is a very high selling MAC lipstick.
I wanted to ask you, how is streaming in Africa? Like, because I just heard someone said that the number one streaming platform in Nigeria in particular is AudioMac. Like, how is
It's really Boomplay.
Okay.
Right? AudioMac is there too, but AudioMac was better when the kid Jason Johnson was leading it because he led it from a urban relationship standpoint. Like, let me help you help me.
Yeah.
And vice versa, where he built relationships, he built a content shop there, stuff like that. And, you know, once he departed, you know, everybody felt the difference in that platform and relationship with that platform.
What's your personal passion now? Like, I know you're in tech, you're in music, you're in TV, film, you're in everything. Like, what is your personal passion right now? Like,
helping us get better.
Us.
Yeah, just helping us get better.
Same here. I love us. I just want to see us be okay.
Yeah, it's like, look, man, like, I get... You know, when you watch other folks do it, right? And again, it's not a racist thing. It's understanding that we must make each other great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like other nationalities of people make each other great.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because when you feel great, you can integrate with other people at the greatest level and be very confident.
Sure.
About that energy, but also the values that you bring to the table.
For sure.
You know, has to be respected.
For sure.
And, you know, look, we just, look, man, the American experience was probably the greatest and the worst experience ever created. Because our journey was insane through this country. So for us to come out of the bottleneck in any kind of shape, you know, is amazing.
Period.
The ones that made it through, you know, amazing, right? But there's still a level of disenfranchisement taking place within the culture of where we come from because we were so boxed in with redlining and this, that, and the other. You fill out an application, you got to put black or Negro or this, that, and the other, and it was an early mechanism to kind of keep us out. You know, you look at what's happening now with some of the laws. You know what I mean? You've got these young ladies that got a fund to give money to black women, and you've
got stopping them.
These guys stopping that. But it's like, you know, look, I look at it like this. I don't think we have to use that flag anymore to be like, yes, I am giving money to.
Yeah.
If that's who you're giving it to, then give it to them.
Just give it to them. You have to announce it.
They don't. You know what I mean? There's no special targeted funds. And I think that we've been so emotional about sticking behind a color that was named of us by somebody's not us that had bad intent, that we're emotional about the word. But we are who we are.
That's crazy.
So it's no need in us always using that as the tagline, because I can look at you and see who you are. I could look at you, I could walk in your company and understand what it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we talking about? But to raise that flag because you're so emotional about standing up for who you are, like, you're going to stand up for who you are in your business model. You don't have to overdo it.
I want to ask you a question. Give me, we're talking to, right now we're talking to 21-year-old Mark. That's, how old were you when you started in the music business? 22-year-old Mark. What's the advice you would give him? Like, you could go back and tell him three things at the start of it. What would be the three things you would say to yourself?
Early on?
Knowing what you know now.
Some wiser choices. Take your time a little bit.
Okay.
You know, again, like...
Like, but how would you... Would you suggest a process, like meditate, or just, like, stop rushing?
I think it's more... I think it's a bit of the rushing. You know what I'm saying? You know, look, when you're trying to figure out another way, you can't always identify the greatest product, right?
Yeah.
So even though somebody is talented, it doesn't mean that you need to do business with them, because... they might not have their head together. They might be slimy.
Yeah.
And you didn't take your time to recognize that. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard to have regrets, because those things made you better to be, you know, for somebody to do some slick stuff.
Exactly.
Underneath your watch.
Exactly.
And it get over. Right? And it's like, you know, look, I've let some things pass, you know, that have taken place in my life, because I have to be accountable to, you know, you saw it coming, but you ignored it. You said, nah, not me. They wouldn't slide me.
Yeah.
Not me.
And they get you every time.
You know what I'm saying?
And, you're right.
And you have to make decisions to grow up versus being physical the way that you know you can be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because... you're transitioning from one thing to another.
Pushing another world.
And you got to change your mindset.
Behavior, everything.
You know what I mean? And, you know, in some cases, like, that's that fire you go through, right? And I was telling some of you guys earlier, it's like, if all the prophets had to go through the fire, then what makes us any different?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, you got to deal with, do these dudes think I'm a clown because I ain't hurt you?
Exactly.
Like, Or is it a part of the process that I got to go through to understand, be diligent the moment you see it? Don't think that it can't happen to you.
I was about to say, it's kind of a mixture of both. You know that, it's a mixture of both. It's like, they are treating you like a clown, but you have to play it out to let them show them. Like I just said, when someone hits you about Dre and Vidal, hey, give me that record for LA. That was kind of like, that was trying you. Let me see if he going to go for it. And you was like, mm-mm.
But also think, at that time, look, I got to give it to Daryl in that instance. It was more so, he had just, L.A. had just raised his hand to figure out how to get involved. And he didn't have a vehicle. And he was honest with me. He's like, man, I don't know a security guard. I don't know this. I don't know that. Man, how am I going to get in this guy's project? Because, you know, L.A. said, figure it out. You know how L.A. is. Yeah. Figure it out. You know, it's that and the other. So, you know, his figure it out was... us coming in with the song.
Yeah, but, but let me tell you something. So I'm gonna tell you a funny story. I'm not gonna go in too deep in it, but it was a song that we did. I told the story on the show, so I ain't gonna hash it out. We did with a certain super producer who you and I both know from New Jersey, right? Biggest producer from New Jersey, right? Jimmy wanted the song for Nicole Scherzinger, and we were kind of fed up with Interscope. So I remember I told him, you handle it. Worst move I ever made in my life, because Jimmy gave him a label deal, flew him and his family private on his jet from where he was living to LA flew over us. We lived in Atlanta. They flew over us. Went to LA, got him a deal, called me back and said, Ray, everything worked out. Don't sweat it. I got y'all paid. I got y'all everything y'all wanted. But he got everything. Now, that's no disrespect to him because he did right. But what I want people to understand is that you giving Daryl that record gave Daryl power. And what I mean by that is like, and mind you, he might not have used it. It's nothing about Daryl. He might not have used it. But what I mean is that you and I know that the way they know you is if they want my work, they gonna get me in the room. I'm not giving it to you, so you could take it in the room. And now he only thinks he needs to know you. And a lot of people in the music business are like that. Like, if I know Chad, I don't want to know nobody else. Everybody come to you, make it, and it's like, well, Chad might be the piece of shit. He might be the wrong, you might have just met him the right day, but he might be the worst person in power. He might be telling us to give him a percentage, and you whole thing is you trying to empower him to help his people. So that's what I mean by, like, you empowered yourself when you said, I'll play it. Now they like, I need to know him. I learned that from Polo. Polo ain't giving nobody nothing until they talk to him and pay him his fee and where everything has to be done. Dr. Luke showed me the same thing. I was just trying to be like, I'm just happy to be there. Oh, you want my record here?
Yeah, but that's the default.
I know. That's what I'm telling you. Like, you doing that was like.
But again, like, you had to learn that.
That's my point. I had to.
You had to learn that. Like, listen, man, you got to get that burn.
Yeah.
To be great.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You need that burn, bro. It needs to sting you.
Sizzling you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got to be, like, even when you get outside, you got to be still putting that fire, that smoke out.
And
like,
the only way you feel that is if you personally feel attacked. You got to take it personal. Like, they not fucking with me. They don't know who I am. They don't know what I'm going to be. Watch me show they motherfucking ass. And that's really what it is.
Yeah, but look, there's two parts, right? If you that, be that.
Yep.
Even through the loss, be that.
Period. I love that. We're going to have some fun now. So we have a game we play. It's called Making the Cut. And I'm going to give you three options, right? Most podcasts, when they play games, they make you drink, smoke, something. We don't do that. Every time you don't want to answer a question, this Cash App sign right here, that's donating to the Creative Academy. These kids have won, two kids have won Grammys. It's $20 a question. There's only five questions. The most you lose is $100, or you just ask every question, and it's even better for us.
It's a lot of money, man. I can't
no one loses. So basically, I'm going to give you three options. You have to sign one, you have to put one in development, and you have to cut one.
Okay.
If you don't want to do it, then you have to donate the money. Kids eat. We send you pictures of the kids eating Chick-fil-A on you or pizza. It depends on how much you. How many questions you don't answer. So we're gonna start off here. I'm gonna make it a little easy for you. Well, not easy, but Motown, QC, LaFace, three labels that have broken black talent in three different genres. I mean, three different eras. Which one you signing? Who you dropping? Who you putting in development?
The labels?
Yes.
Or the people on the labels?
No, this is you taking on the brand. This is the Mark Byers universe. You have a chance to either buy all of them, buy their history. That's what made me ask you that, because when you said that Motown Hotels, I'm like, this nigga is on a different level. I didn't even think get that far. God damn. So I'm asking you got all three brands. You got a chance to buy all three brands and everything they have. Which ones are you, which one you buying? Which one you like, hold that one to the side, or which one you like, I'm sorry, I can't do it?
Motown, number one.
Okay.
LaFace, number two, because of his diversity.
For sure.
Of talent, from rap to Outkast and TLC and, you know, probably more of my overall business model than even Motown.
Okay.
Because Motown was about Berry Gordy's sound and not the multiple sounds that are coming out of the culture, right? Where LaFace kind of fit that, even though they had LA and Face, and Face, his writing had a sound.
Got you.
Right? And then QC probably would be last because it's...
No, we cut QC.
Because, and I'll tell you why.
No, you have to say it though. You have to, like, yeah, part of the game, yeah, you have to say it.
Then cutting QC, one, had a, not around as long.
Yep.
But also one genre strong, right? And that's it. And it has nothing to do whether they're great or not, is, you know, you do the genre that you're great at. But I feel like, and Motown was of its time the same way, right? But the catalog.
Yeah.
And Barry Gordy being the architect of that,
yeah,
was, is why all of those models exist, from Philly International to LaFace to QC. Even QC quality control was a mindset,
yep,
from Barry Gordy. You know what I'm saying? And I think that they've done well at creating this iconic position for rap artists of today's genre, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I can't just do rap.
I got you. By the way, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it really, it's going to be a little difficult now. You're going to see where we're going. Dre and Vidal, Gamble and Huff, Pop and Oak.
Oof. Gamble and Huff first.
Okay. I love that you give 30, it. I love 30, that.
3,500 song catalog and all that they've done for music and the business.
Yeah.
Dre and Vidal, because they were sound agnostic.
Mm.
Right?
So we signed to Gamble and Huff. Where developing Dre and Vidal, which you actually did, so that's even better. Let's go.
Yeah, but if I wasn't involved, these guys, like, we talking about the music, all of the singles that they've done are still being performed in artist concerts, but very premier.
Yeah.
In the concert. Yeah. Usher started off the Super Bowl with Caught Up.
Yeah.
Chris Brown still does Poppin' Excuse Me Miss. Like, these songs were culturally effective.
Yeah.
Right? Then I would let Pop and Oak go.
Okay. Yeah. I got a couple more. I got four good ones.
And again, not for lack of greatness. It's just that remembering the work.
You know what I mean? No, I love that. I'm gonna make it a little difficult on you. Dr. J, Allen Iverson, Joel Embiid.
Dr. J.
So we signed Dr. J.
We signed Dr. J.
Who we developing?
Developing?
Yep. And who we cutting?
We developing Allen Iverson.
Okay.
We may cut Joel Embiid.
I know we gotta cut him. We gotta cut him. We gotta donate. We gotta cut him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we cut Joel Embiid. Okay.
And,
cool.
And do I give my reason why?
You can if you want. It's your choice.
Because look. Dr. J, because look, arguably, all of these players that's in the game with all of these fancy moves, as much as they give it to Jordan, again, young people losing the sight of lineage, they don't realize that in order for the NBA to get Doc, they had to give the ABA a piece of the NBA, which I think that contract may have just stopped 10 years ago.
Really?
So when you look at Magic Johnson and all of these guys, their idol was Doc. The person they looked up to is saying, wow, this is who's making me want to play ball.
Yeah.
The early guy that before there was internet, that playground legend all over the country. If you look at when Doc played at in Harlem, whatever, the Rucker.
Yeah.
Look at that picture.
Mm.
You got people sitting on the projects, roof of the projects.
What?
If anybody pull it up, look at the picture of Dr. J when he played at Rucker Park and see where everybody was positioned to even be able to get an eye on him. They couldn't even see the game.
So is Dr. J like Philly's most beloved athlete?
Him and Iverson.
Okay.
Him and Iverson, I think Dr. J for class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he bought us our first chip that we know of
in
our generation. And Iverson, because he integrated himself into the culture of Philly.
Mm, yeah.
I could go to people's cribs and Iverson be in the basement, chilling, watching TV.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he was literally like one of y'all.
No, but it's like he grew up in Philly.
Mm. All right, couple more.
And then B, because I need him the reason why, we got to mention that too. I need him under the bucket.
You know you're a Philly guy, right? You know you got to get back to his team.
Yeah, I need him under the basket, bro. Staying dirty. Even though he can shoot threes, Let that happen every now and then. But I need you under the bucket, and I don't need you bringing the ball up.
I'm about to make it really hard on you.
Go ahead.
Jack actually gave this a good one, Jack. If everybody's from Philly, this is a good one. Jill Scott, Jasmine Sullivan, Patti LaBelle.
Woof. Ouch. Wow. Man.
Or you can buy the kids pizzas. It's just your choice.
I'm buying pizzas.
Let's get that for pizza for the kids.
I'm buying pizzas.
All right, two more, because this is just really good. I just love this. The Philadelphia 76ers, Eagles, and Phillies.
Sixers, Eagles. I don't watch hockey.
No, Phillies is baseball.
I mean, Phillies, Sixers, Eagles?
Yep.
Eagles and Sixers, I don't watch baseball.
Okay, that was it. So I'm going to give you, I got the last one. Will Smith, Meek Mill, Teddy Pendergrass.
Teddy Pendergrass.
I love it. You just get right to it. Yeah. You got to think about it.
Look, man, Teddy Pendergrass is probably the only artist that we know to date that was able to sell out all female shows. Hotel room keys being thrown on the stage. Undergarments being thrown on the stage.
Teddy was that nigga.
Teddy exemplified sexuality, bro, in a man's body.
Love that.
You know what I'm saying? Will Smith, because of level of success.
He took Philly to a, he's the biggest box office movie star of all time.
But also, look at, you know, look, first Grammys rap artist.
Yep.
You know, first transitional hip-hop artist into television and film.
Yeah.
But also making it, like, getting it to a point where, like, this guy owned the Independence Day. Like, yeah. As I'm putting movies out, that's my date. All y'all stay out the way.
Yeah.
Like, that thing.
Like, 10 movies that went number one.
Yeah.
This is a bonus. You don't need, no penalty, just none of that. Jack just wants to put this out there. Usher Superstar, Chris Brown, Yo, and Michael Jackson, Butterflies. All three of your records.
Sheesh. I'm paying.
We ain't got you, but we're going to take it, though. Yeah. We're going to put it out for the kid.
I'm paying.
A couple more things. So we have this segment we call Credit Check. Mark, I hate flowers. I hate when people say, give me flowers, because flowers is rooted in death.
Yep.
Fuck flowers. Give me my credit.
Yep.
I could leverage that. We give people like yourself a chance to shout out 2 to 3 unsung heroes in the Mark Byers story that you just want to shoot some credit to, that you feel deserves some credit from you.
That's a part of my story?
Story, yeah. It's your story. It's like basically who you want to shout out.
Everybody, really. it's funny, man.
Unsung
it's,
heroes.
It's unsung?
Unsung. People who played a role, but they might not get the credit.
My brother in
some instances.
I was about to say
Sherman got to get it because he's a ghost, but he's present every minute. Yep.
Numero uno.
Shout out to Sherman.
Yep. My daughter.
See? I like where this is going.
Yep.
What's your daughter do for you?
Keeps it a buck.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You know, she's young, man. She's 26.
Mm.
She in it, you know, the average person in real. My daughter is the brand manager at Live Nation Urban.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fire.
You know.
See what I'm talking about? Sean, I'm telling you, Philly take care of Philly. I love that shit.
Yeah. And was there from internship.
Oh wow, even better.
And you know, Sean recruited her as an intern, and he gave her a letter before she got out of school, her senior year in college.
Mm.
She had a letter that, you know, hired her as his EA.
Mm.
And that just shows, like, the belief that a person has with not only how you were raised, but just understanding, like, what your capabilities are to kind of put you next to them in their day-to-day duties to run the shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, And my Uncle Frankie, man, may he rest in peace. You know, that was the person that was all that took me to every sports team, every sports team I tried out for. He was the guy, you know, the music. He was a musician for McFadden and Whitehead. So all Ain't No Stopping Us Now and this, that. And yeah, he was a musician for that.
They came out of Philly too, didn't they?
Yeah, Delphonics, Philly group. He played guitar for all of these guys, you know. And my father, bro. Like, I can't even name three people, you know. My father, you know, because this dude showed us the value of work. You know what I mean? He was a staff sergeant in the Marines. You know, him and my mom got their first house at like 21 years old, all the way up in Philly. You know what I'm saying? From North Carolina. You know what I mean? Lived in Encino, California when he got shipped there. Then drove from there to, you know, to Philadelphia to move because, you know, wasn't a whole bunch of catching planes. Raised his family in a good neighborhood. Fought to make sure that when the realtor was trying to put my father in the projects and other places, not showing in the right spots, he told the guy, like, look, you got one more time to show me a house, you know, excuse my French, that's a piece of shit, or a neighborhood that got liquor on the corner and this, that, and the other, and I'm gonna pick another real estate agent.
That makes a lot of sense to the man you became, too. Shout out to your father.
So he would, look, man, he got up early, just a military thing. He wake me and my brother up. When he get up, he come turn the lights on. Y'all get up.
Yeah.
Y'all come with me. Y'all go wash the car. Get in the car. I got to go make some runs. He kept us witty.
That's hard.
To make sure that we understood the value of work. That's why now it's like, work is not a hard thing for me at all.
Yeah.
Not working is a hard thing.
Yeah, same thing for me. I want to ask you this. I got one last question, but I'm just
going
to ask
you. I got one more.
Go ahead. Oh, let's go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, look, man, my father went down with a heart attack and a stroke probably maybe 22 years ago. He's still in bed today. It was like a slow decline.
Gradual.
Right? Yeah. And watching my mother take on a role as caretaker, you know, she was a manager at a loan company for housing loans and stuff like that. And, you know, my brother and I decided to retire her so she can actually take care of my father. She was too young for retirement.
That's dope.
My mom's 77 now, which means that she was maybe 57, you know, 56 when that happened. But watching my father never have bed sores, never look ashy and crusty, never look depressed, or nothing like that. But you watch him decline from having to work on a walker to being in the bed every day, all day, because he can't move.
Yeah.
But he can't talk, no nothing. But watch this guy be happy. He can say a couple words, but no full sentences.
But you can tell he's loved, though.
But he's loved.
That's important.
And you look at that commitment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I got to commend her numero uno over everything, because that old school thing that they talking about like standing by what always stood by you.
Yeah.
You know, and she always says, you're like, look, man, your father may have made some mistakes, might have done some dumb stuff. But one thing he never did was put us in position where we couldn't eat or question where we got to stay.
That's hard.
So
I like that you gave all your family shine like that. You know, most people said my family. I love that you did that.
Nah, it's the above ground things, right? It could have been my family. Look, I have to give a lot of credit to Clarence Avon.
Yeah.
You know, because when my father went down, I actually met Clarence through Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never asked him to do anything for me. I remember early on when he got me to consult Virgin Records, the chairman of Virgin. This guy never called me for anything.
Yeah.
I'm getting a check in the mail. And when I call a guy to see if he needs anything, he's like,
yeah,
I'll let you know. It's just,
bro,
you know what
OG
I mean?
Shit.
Never needed anything. You know what I mean? But what I liked about it is that the stories that he let me into about his life, the journey, opportunities that came by him from having an opportunity to potentially get Volkswagen. The Microsoft chip came in his hands. But it was the things that he didn't decide to do was the things that I'm getting the most lessons from, because he said, man, if I'd have known what that is, had I been a little bit more open to understand what that is, he arguably would have had stake in the Microsoft chip.
Period.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. Yeah, you got to pay attention.
And that taught me a lot by being able to have that. But also service, right? You know, I mean, he called me. He said, hey, he used to call me Marketer Mark. He said, Marketer Mark, what you doing? He said, come over here. Come to the house. So I'm like, all right, cool. I go to the crib, pulls out this big album book. This album book is packed with letters of dignitaries, like presidents, CEOs of companies, stuff like that. And the entire book was packed literally about this thick with people that were thanking him for what he had done for them.
Oh, wow.
Like this. I'm talking about an album book of paper that's this thick.
Mm.
And I'm just going through it. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Mm.
And it made you understand the value of service.
Exactly.
You know, everybody can do for themselves, but it's like, you great based on what you do for other people.
Mm.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Real.
Not even just in business, but in the eyes of God.
Mm. I agree.
If you don't service his people, then what's your value when it's time for you to get at the gate?
That's real.
When he say, what have you done? You're like, oh man, I made this money for myself and I bought this car, I did this, that, and I said, no, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And when you can't answer that question, and then you see the padlocks go on the gate, it's your fault.
That's so real. Second to last question, just because you're a Philly guy, give me your top five artists and your personal top five artists out of Philly.
Out of Philly?
Important artists out of Philly.
Oh, man. Teddy Pendergrass, of course. Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince.
I love that you gave Jazzy Jeff.
Patti LaBelle. Artists.
That's three.
Jill Scott.
Okay, four.
Jasmine Sullivan.
That's five.
Eve. I gotta stop.
Yes, no, that's six. That's six. You stop. You gotta stop.
it's funny because, look, to me, it's gotta be six because if you look at the model that was built around Eve, you know, between myself, Chris Chambers, and there was a stylist by the name of Kite Brewster, that the model that we built around her. All of the top girls are using that model today, right? Fashion, you know, all of the entire, I don't mean being fly, I'm talking about utilizing the fashion business, utilizing the makeup business, being able to get stuff out of the houses before they come out, you know, that part, right? I think, and building product, I think the best example of that model is Rihanna.
Mm.
But Eve was the template for that model. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So she has to be included because of that.
Gotcha.
Right? The same way that we have to put Will in that position.
Sure.
We have to put her equally kind of in that position because I think Eve only made three albums.
Yeah. And she kept it cute and kept it feminine the whole time. And but, she do.
But if you listen to the content.
Yeah. It was very...
Of the lyrics,
what
y'all want was a girl's night out.
Yeah.
Wasn't nobody talking about being a trick or this, that, and the other. She never dressed scantily clad. Everything was classic.
Exactly.
So.
Last question. This is called the God Show. GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog, what do you personally want to accomplish for you to say you're the goat?
It's funny, like, I don't know if GOAT is ever, like, the real measurement.
Okay.
To be honest. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, no matter what the accomplishment is, if I'm able to call that myself.
Mm.
But I also feel like there's a hunger that stays within you, staying within the underdog realm.
Exactly.
Because you keep trying to break barriers. So you kind of always stay in that underdog realm, right?
Yep.
And it keeps you hungry. So I think, look, when you get that GOAT thing, it's over.
Mm.
I think that's the only time that you can claim that is when you stop and you're like, okay, of my time, you know, best that ever did it.
I got to tell you something. We don't let no one sit on this God show couch unless we consider them a GOAT. So you are a GOAT. I call you for information. You are my GOAT. So I just wanted to give you that. Let's do that really quick.
I appreciate
quick.
It.
You have but to you, have the underdog
only,
mentality.
Only someone, in my eyes, only someone else can say that. Like, I can't say that.
Exactly. No. I'm just saying. I'm saying it. We celebrate
it.
You. I appreciate you for doing the show. By the way, you can come anytime. You can take my seat. I don't give a fuck. You my OG. Shout out to our sponsor. Shout out to Tote and Carrie. Shout out to Two Loss. And shout out to Yoko Vodka. But shout out to you for watching, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And thank you to Mark Byers for blessing the blue couch with his presence. Let's go. We are out. Thanks for watching the God Show. Let's go.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.